Before we get to this week's edition of The Wiggle Room, let me take a moment and thank our friends over at True Car, because if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Not only you'll know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you even go to the dealership. And the True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car will show you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified dealer knows this. So they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Check it out.
Josh.
Yeah, we are back. Wiggle Room, episode number 12. Josh Wiggler.
Can you believe it?
Oh, boy.
It's the fourth week in a row that I'm launching into the Wiggle Room with the softest of voices. Unexpectedly, did not think that we would be 4 weeks in with a really soft and delicate Wiggle Room voice. But then I realized that having a very soft voice entering the Wiggle Room would keep you disarmed for when I shouted, Aunt Patty! Patty!
Yeah. Boy. Aunt Patty is really the breakout character of Survivor Ghost Island.
God, Patty!
Yeah.
That's the best I've got. That's all I've got. I believe it's a Bryce. Bryce has the Aunt Patty beat on lockdown.
I think. Well, this weekend on the podcast, this weekend coming up, that we're going to have Mike Bloom on the feedback show, and we will have our traditional who will and won't speak at the finale. And I'm going all in on Aunt Patty.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic choice. Aunt Patty's getting a question 1,000,000%. 155,000% Aunt Patty is getting
She will be on the board with all of the other castaways from Ghost Island.
100%. You know, another thing for Bradley Klahige to complain about is that he will get no questions at the finale. Zero questions. 0.0 chance that Bradley Klahige is getting a question at the reunion. And 1,000.75 million astronomical billion percent that Aunt Patty is getting like 20 minutes devoted to her.
All right, we got to go down here. We got to talk to Aunt Patty. Aunt Patty, yes. Come here. Let's go.
Oh, my God. Yes, and I'm going to have, like, the great perspective on that, too, in the room. And I'm going to be wearing my Wombat's hat, and I'm just going to be, like, twirling it in my finger.
Right. You were sitting with Aunt Patty at the finale, right? You requested that?
that's the hope. Fingers crossed. Oh, my God. I should be so lucky.
All right. So here we are, episode number 12. A lot of stuff to get into from the show as we are less than 2 weeks away from the finale. Of course, got a big wand off in store for you guys and plus some wand off news. So stay tuned for that. But we're not going to get into that right now. Josh Wiggler. And here we are after an episode where Chelsea, the icon, is gone from Survivor Ghost Island. And then there were seven.
Yes. So Chelsea is gone. That is sad. At the same time, that gave us the opportunity to have another fantastic Liana Boris exit interview here on RHAP, which has to become a staple. Like, I know, like, the...
Oh,
like,
it
the,
already
the,
is.
Yeah, but I mean, three's a trend, so we're close.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, the popular sentiment is, like, to really get very upset at the person who skips out on the exit interview, and especially the RHAP exit interview, but now this is, like, a delicious opportunity where
now
you know...
we're glad.
Yes, like, you figured it out. Like, you have your thing, and it's terrific.
Yeah.
And it's like potentially the best podcast of the week, and you had Bryce Isaiah on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to speak to that, where Liana stepped in for Chelsea on the exit interview, Chelsea posted on Twitter that she did indeed have a flight during the time she had wanted to reschedule, but it seems like that CBS drew a pretty hard line of this is when we're doing exit press today. And so I just drew the short stick in terms of being on the exit interview time when she had the flight. And so those are just the breaks. So it was not a case
that feels like the answer that is acceptable.
Didn't make any sense to me, because it is like, if I was killing Chelsea all season and saying anything that, you know, if I was, you know, way, you know, above and beyond what anybody else is saying about Chelsea, then it would make sense. But I did, you know, if that was the case where she was offended, and this has happened before in the past, not to get into specific cases, then
Whitney.
Wow. Yeah. But not even for Survivor. That was for a different, right, for entirely different reality show.
Right.
So
right.
I would have been surprised if that was the case.
I think I believe the story. I think, the exit interview window, a lot is going on. We're also in TV upfront season right now, so I imagine the great folks at CBS right now have their hands full. I imagine that Chelsea actually did have the flight at that time. She did fly into Utah to watch the episode with her family, of course, with her sister having been on the show. So I buy the story completely. And I expect that Chelsea, given the fact that she like even commented on like the beginning and the end of the exit interview with RHAP was clearly not me, referring to the fact that Liana took some creative
so convincing
license.
She's so convincing that people I guess were confused.
Yes. You know, she seems like she was a really good sport about the thing. I bet that she would do an off-season podcast with you, and I think that that would actually be a really fun off-season podcast. You know, as you're looking ahead into the future, Rob, I think that the Purple Chelsea podcast in the summer months, I think you should look into it, because I bet she would do it. I bet it would be great. I think it would be a very compelling podcast to do one of those deep dives that you often do, except with one of the star players of the season. You're doing it with like the anti-star. So you're getting like kind of like the anti-star perspective on what was going on Ghost Island. And then it's up to everybody else to kind of read between the lines as to whether or not that is an accurate report. But I think it'd be a fun podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Josh, so talk to me about where we stand right now. Final seven of Survivor Ghost Island, that people are waiting for this big move to come. But is it not unlike waiting for Godot to show up in this season? Is this Godot's Island?
Wow. Well, it is indeed Godot's Island. I think we just have to say that this is definitely Godot's Island, because you need to get that hashtag cemented at this early portion of the podcast. That's fantastic. Yeah, I do think so. Unfortunately, I think the view that I'm getting of the season as we've been in the merge, and I kind of like, you know, said it tongue in cheek a couple of weeks ago on Twitter, that like all these Ponderosa videos are so incredible. Are they kind of like a little bit better than like the post merge game of Ghost Island? Because they've just been so hilarious, where like you've got like the dance numbers, you've got the fragrance commercials, you've got the rap battles, and who knows where all of that stuff has gone. But as we experience them, highly enjoy. But the pre-merge of this season, I thought was, you know, obviously like very electric. And I think, you know, you were losing big character after big character after big character. But the post-merge has just been kind of, I don't know, you're waiting for that moment. You're waiting for Godot Island to show up, and it hasn't happened yet. And this would have been the week. This would have been the week for it to happen. There were opportunities for it to happen. Laurel and Donathan in the swing vote position this week, and they stay. You know, they hold, and it is frustrating from a viewer's perspective. I think that you could really gnash into it in terms of like from their perspective, in terms of what they wanted to do and what they viewed their future in the game as. Like if they cut, you know, one of Dominic and Wendell now, or make the move against them, they're, you know, moving forward into an uncertain future, but one in which they could win. Or if they, if they choose to stay, at least they know that they are going to get very close to that final day, but their shot of winning is virtually nil. So it's tough to watch. You understand it from a certain perspective in terms of, you know, what that boots on the ground existence must be like. But this is coming from somebody who I really like Dominic. I really like Wendell, but it really does feel at this point that it's just a question of which one of them wins. And that's kind of boring TV, mm-hmm. you know? is kind of my perspective on it right now. It's just, I feel like we're sort of in this, this flat home stretch of Ghost Island, where like, we'll have a great winner of the season if it's one of those two guys, but it's just kind of like, it's sort of that classic mold of those seasons where you have these really incredible winners, like these dominant winners, but sort of these lackluster seasons because they just have such a stranglehold over the game is what it feels like right now. And I will be thrilled if it is shaken up to an extent where we are wildly wrong if there's like a surprise coming this week, but it just does not feel like there are the right people in the game for that to happen anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that's going to be the case. And again, as you said, if it happens, that's great. But
awesome, yes, totally.
I have been really thinking about the Dominic and Wendell of it all, and a lot of people say one is the front runner. A lot of people say the other one is the front runner. Some people even say neither is the front runner. That it's exactly a flat-footed tie, like all the way to percentage points, and you can't even distinguish one from the other. But I think the fascinating part of this is that if these two guys, we're presuming one of them will win, the thing that has been fascinating me over these last couple of weeks is that one of these guys will lose, Josh. And I think that it is this where, you know, where it's so close between the two of them, but one of them will go on to win and the other one will go on to lose, maybe be considered to be, you know, the game's new greatest loser. I think that that's a realistic possibility. But I think that they will be put in this situation where they'll probably play again, but they will probably be considered such a massive threat from this first game that they probably will never go on to win. And I really am interested in what you think. Will we go back and look at this season? If these guys do run the table and get to the end, will we look at it and say this was more of a joint victory for the two of them? Or will we look back and say, why didn't the loser get rid of the winner earlier?
Yeah, and I think that this is I was listening to the know-it-alls that you did with Steven the morning after you guys recorded, and never in my life have I been more thrilled that I was not in the hot seat that Steven was in that night as you crucified the poor fish.
Oh, I was too hard?
It was fairly intense. Yeah. It felt fairly intense in terms of Steven's inability to rank Wendell or Dominic over the other, because just a couple of days earlier, I had basically expressed the same point of like, I don't know. I don't know who is in front when it comes to Wendell or mm-hmm. Dominic. I think like if you put me in the position of like a gun to my head and you have to make a choice, otherwise it's
you,
over.
But you could have.
I feel like I would probably, yeah, but I would second guess it as I said it. Like, that's the thing is, like, I think that these guys are very evenly matched. And I think that that's what seems to be exciting about this moment. If you're finding something that's like competitively exciting right now, for me, it's not like, will Laurel and Donathan rally together with Kellen and Angela and Sebastian to pull one over on Dominic and Wendell? That feels highly unlikely at this point because these guys both have idols. You know, these guys both just seem to have like such a hold on two of these other people in their alliance. Like, it just feels like the moves that need to be made to dismantle them are too many and it's too late in order to make that happen. And I will be thrilled if I am wrong on that. So the drama for me now is this question of like, it's a horse race. Like, it is very difficult to tell which one is ahead of the other. And I think that it really is a matter of percentage points. So I think you could talk to me last week and maybe my answer would have been Wendell. And maybe this week my answer is Dominic, but I think that it would shift with some regularity. Like, I don't think that I could feel confident in telling you which one I think is the dominant player. And I think that that will be a cross to bear for whoever the runner up is or whoever is the one of those two who doesn't make it all the way. I think that that will be, you know, potentially a bitter pill to swallow for the reasons that you've suggested, where they may have sort of this sort of victorious reputation but not the victory itself. And if there is a return trip in the future for one of these players, that it could be a difficult road to follow down. They're very evenly matched. It's a really difficult situation right now. And that's where like sort of like the entertainment in terms of the competitiveness comes in for me right now. It's between these two.
So I wasn't podcasting the show during Token Sheens when Steven and JT were, you know, these two friends that made it all the way to the end. And so I don't know enough about how that season was perceived at the time. And I don't know if you can answer that question, but was that looked at more of a team win for the two, or was there second guessing in the real time of it of, hey, why didn't Steven get rid of JT earlier?
Yeah, my memory of it is fairly hazy because I was just starting to get back into Survivor around there. I had taken I think it was China and Micronesia off, and I was slowly returning to the Survivor sphere right around Gabon and Token Sheen. So it was very slow. I was disconnected from the online fandom. It felt to me like, you know, from the people that were in my life who were watching it, that, you know, JT was like the favorite. So I don't think that it was quite the same situation that we're in right now. To my mind, like it's still not a perfect comparison, but like I don't know, like a Yule Ozzy type of situation where you have these very two strong people that are in a core alliance that are you know, spearheading their way towards the top.
Yeah,
where it's hard to tell.
They were in like a group of four, but they weren't really on the same page.
This
was like if it was the top two were Yule and Becky, where it was like, you know, the tight two, it was really, you know, Ozzy was kind of like the fourth wheel there, right?
Right. Yeah. That's why I'm saying, like, I don't think that there's a great analog for this, unless like the show is really dressing this up. And then like the reality of the situation on the beach is such that it's closer to a JT Steven, where like if JT and Steven get to the end together, one of them wins in a blowout. Like, could that be what's going on with Dominic and Wendell? But for the sake of how it's being portrayed to us on screen right now, it is being presented as a much closer situation, because just in terms of that, like, I think that there are points in both columns. Like, you know, they're both charismatic, they both seem to have their people, they both have proven to be very competitive and strong in challenges, they have both found idols. If you believe the exit press hype, then we know that Dominic has created a fake idol. We have heard in exit press that Wendell has created a fake idol. So it's just like, who do you prefer? Like, the show hasn't given a great indication of which one is ahead of the other in terms of actual performance. I think the thing that I have, you know, noticed, and I think that other people have noticed, and maybe it's one thing to keep in mind, is that of the two, only one has talked about cutting the other, right? Like, only Dominic has talked about cutting Wendell. And is that Chekhov's knife in the drawer? Like, is that the situation as we, you know, if we get into the finale and both of these two players are still active, which I wholly expect they will be, will that come out? And will there be a moment where Dominic comes after Wendell and either he is successful and that is like the winning move, or he fails and that was like Icarus gets too close to the sun type of deal? But it's so hard to say. I don't know. I relate to Steven. It's very hard to say. You would say Dominic. If gun to your head, you would say Dominic over Wendell.
I would say through 12 episodes, I think that Dominic is, if I had to pick a winner today, I'll say Dominic.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean after just, Wednesday's episode, I wouldn't say that after this episode, now I think that Wendell, because the you know, the question is who's winning right now?
Right.
Through 12 rounds.
Right, through 12 rounds.
You know, it's a boxing match.
Yeah, and I think that I think the thing is that Dominic has been more out in front recently. You know, he has two immunity wins under his belt recently. Wendell has been the person that people have been casting their votes against because he's been an available target. So you would think that like the resume points would go to Dominic on that. But it seems like people in the game know that Wendell has an idol. Certainly we know Laurel knows that Wendell has an idol. We, you know, again, if you're following Exit Press, it seems like it's not an, you know, it, that it's a fairly unspoken, you know, common knowledge deal that Wendell has an idol as well. And so is the fact that he is sitting on an idol in the midst of the pressure that was applied at this past tribal council with Donathan blowing things up. Is that a resume point? Is that like, holy crap, that guy has ice in his veins? Like, if I know, and I'm on the jury, if I know that that guy has an idol and he is sitting on it, I am very impressed by that move. So I don't know. I guess just to be contrarian and just to pick a side, I'll say Wendell right now. Mm-hmm. I'll go with, I feel like a Wendell win right now.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see either way. So when you're looking for a storyline, I think that if you shift your mind from, is that move happening? If you were pinning all your hopes on a flip, that yeah, you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. But, you know, just in terms of the perspective of, we have this all time situation with these two guys, tip top toes, who knows, you know, which way it's going to go. I think that there's probably a little more that you could sink your teeth into.
Yeah, because I think if you start to look at the other areas of like, well, who's going to pull off the upset against these guys? I just don't see it, man. I would love to come onto the show here and be like, well, you can really reason it out from a bunch of different people's perspectives. But I think in terms of like story content, in terms of like whose perspectives we have been in, and in terms of like who is left in the game, like, you can't really imagine the Sebastian victory. You know, that would be, it'd be a high for Survivor the night that Seabass won. But I feel like you can't imagine him Fabioing his way to the top on this season. It's just not there right now. Angela, who I have really enjoyed, it's just not really there right now. Laurel and Donathan, I think, unless they make and like they could make a, you know, if they could really shake things up in this coming episode, we are, you know, getting into the final seven. Like, if something happens where we like roll into the finale with this unexpected momentum where they have gotten rid of one of Dominic or Wendell because of some really artfully maneuvered social move where they have gotten them so docile as to not play an idol, and then they do what they should have done this past week on them this week, then we'll go into the finale conversation. And I will say very differently about Laurel and Donathan, but I just don't see it right now. And Kellen, as much as I love her, and you and I have her both as our winner pick, she's in a really tough situation right now where Navidi Strong really has not seemed to pay off for her. So there's two candidates that I see right now. And it's just the question of, I think the tension is between which one pulls ahead in your mind. And for me, it's a really hard question. Today, I'll say Wendell.
Yeah. Last thing on this, final four immunity challenge. Hypothetically, one of those two guys win. Do you think it is likely that they automatically bring one another, or do you think it is more likely that they send the other one to make the fire?
I think in the spirit of the competition that they have between them, and I think that that was expressed when they went head to head in the immunity challenge in the episode where Michael and Jenna went home. I feel like it would be I guess it depends on like what your perspective would be of like, would it be more competitive to go to final tribal council against each other? Would it be more like earn your spot? I could see like both of them saying to the other guy, like, you know, I love you. We've played this game all the way to the end together, but now earn your spot here at the final four. Go make fire. I could see that scenario. I think that that is a likely scenario to me.
Okay.
What do you think? If you a gun to your head in terms of if one of them were to win immunity, would if Dominic won immunity, would he bring Wendell into the final tribal council, or would he task him with making fire and vice versa?
I think Wendell would bring Dominic to the end, and I think that Dominic would send Wendell into the fire making.
Okay.
So I think that they would behave differently. And I think that for both of them, I think it sort of like plays to their strong suit, where Dominic, I think, is the player that has been more cutthroat. I think that Wendell has been the player that is more confident in his social game, because I think that Wendell feels like, if I get to the end, I think I have it. I think, you know, I can beat Dominic in the end, where Dominic, I think, is more concerned that Wendell could beat him in the end. And they could very well both be right in that scenario.
I definitely agree that I can see Dominic telling Wendell, you got to make fire. But I can also see Wendell telling Dominic, you got to make fire. Because I think that one thing that is important to keep in mind, just one, you know, I'm trying to like track their perspectives across the season, because I think that that's really important as we're moving into the end game here, is when we had that split from 2-3 and Yanuya, when that was a thing, and Wendell is finally separate from Dominic for the first time in the game, and he's hanging out with Chris Noble, and he gets kind of the confessional of being like, these two people have been going after each other. It's been nuts. I've just been trying to be the calm guy in the middle. I think in that moment, and even in the episode where Chris goes, I think Wendell is presented as the diplomat. I think that he is presented as the level-headed guy in the group. He is the one who is acting kind of rationally there. He's not acting based on emotion. He is not at the, he's not at either polar end of the war until he, you know, actively chooses a side. He's kind of in the middle. He has an option either way. So for me, like, that is somebody who is level-headed enough that in that situation, if he were to win the Final Four immunity challenge, I could absolutely see him sending Dominic to the fire making challenge. But I see your perspective as well. I think that, you know, he's also shown to be really, really close with Dominic. I mean, I could see it both ways. Steven, I feel you. Like, this is tough. I think it's a hard situation. I think that the situation that we are in with these two players right now, it's different from where we've been in recent seasons. Like, it's hard to find a really great analog for where we are with these two players right now.
No, I do think we're in uncharted waters with this.
Uncharted, like, you know, you'd really have to dig deep. Like, I do think, again, like, there is a similarity to Earl and Yao, but like it really is, even then, it's just not perfect. This is kind of an unusual situation for sure, and it's fun. Like, it's fun on that perspective, but it's not fun if you're looking for a big swing, because it's just not here. It doesn't seem to exist.
And it is the kind of situation where I would love it if we would have a final two. I know that we're probably not getting that again anytime soon, but then you open the door for, oh, you idiot, why did you bring him to the end? Because now you're going to lose to him. And right. In the case of a final three, I think it does, and probably what the show wants, you know, really does increase the likelihood that both of those guys are going to be there at the end. And the final four fire making twist really adds to the likelihood that both of those guys are going to be in the final three.
Yeah. Totally agreed.
Okay.
Nothing further, you're Jervis.
Okay. On a completely unrelated and a different note.
Oh God.
I've been bringing in some voicemails from the feedback show that don't really apply to the guest on the feedback show, but might be better suited for you. So let me play you this voicemail that we got from George.
Hi, Rob and Bryce. It's George from Cambridgeshire. So I was wondering, this move for Laurel and Donathan reminded me of the final seven from Survivor Dragonstone, Healers versus Heroes versus Hustlers.
Oh, wow.
Where Sam eventually decided to vote along with Arya and Sansa Stark, which ultimately led to him losing in a tie vote when Arya broke the tie to Sansa, of all people, and Sam, total Rob goddess, ends up losing. Do you even think a tie is possible this season after how much it was hyped last season? I could totally see Donathan breaking a tie between Wendell and Dominic, and it just being absolute hysteria, mayhem, panic, drama. Or even maybe see Slugger Angela getting in there and just deep throating for a win. Okay, thanks, babe. Bye.
Josh, is any of that information factually correct? From Survivor Dragonstone, Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers.
I mean, my memory of Survivor Dragonstone is that Samwell Tarly was crushing it towards the end, and Sansa was kind of playing like the low key even social game, and Arya was just killing people, so no one wanted to be around Arya, and she was just a final tribal council Ghost. So yeah, I think that sounds accurate to me, to my memory of it.
Yeah.
But we've done so many of these simulations at this point that they all blur together.
Okay, well, this is a lesser travel theory, but so the caller, George, brought up the specter of a tie vote, and I have had some people emailing the show with a little bit of a conspiracy theory of that Jeff Probst at the Game Changers finale explained how a tie break vote would work, where the third place person would then vote for somebody who was in the final two. Do you think that Jeff Probst did that because this season Ghost Island could end in a tie vote?
That makes no sense.
Why not?
Well, it makes no sense because Ghost Island hadn't filmed yet. By the time that Jeff was saying that at the Game Changers finale.
Okay, yeah. Well, do we not live in a Survivor universe which incorporates time travel?
I mean, if you want to apply the time travel rules and Tarzan, a.k.a. Sebastian, flew back through time and told Jeff Probst, Jeffrey! We have a tie vote in the future! We have no way of solving
it! You sure it wasn't time traveling, Dr. Mike?
Yeah. Jeff. Yeah. Oh, man, we were so close to making it through a podcast without talking about Dr. Mike. We're this close.
Yeah,
we were right there. It makes no sense, obviously, in terms of a straight down the line normal continuity. Mm-hmm.
Bro, I know.
But in terms of maybe like tossing the idea out into the ether as like a consideration of like, no, that seems crazy too. Like, can you imagine like two players being savvy enough and like really ready enough to recognize like how that would work out of like, if you and I link up and we just go all the way to the end together and we pick one person and we split the vote and that one person, it's a total coin toss of who they would vote for. Like, that just seems, that seems crazy. That just does not seem possible.
Would be exciting TV.
It'd be great. It'd be really fun.
It'd be
very fun. I'm not exactly banking on it, but I think that if those two guys are able to get to the end together, or if they end up in the end together, I think it'll be a close vote. But I will still be very surprised if we ever see a tie at the final tribal.
Okay, Josh, anything else you want to say about episode 12? Because we have a lot of wand off business to attend to this week.
No, sad for Chelsea. The story just did not break her way, I think, in terms of I think, you know, based on my interview with her and able to, you know, being able to talk to her, it seemed like she had like great rationalizations for what she was doing. And, you know, she seemed like she was playing a really low key game, very, you know, sensible, level headed game that maybe wasn't, you know, spectacularly exciting television in terms of the confessionals and everything like that. But I think that she was playing a really solid game. It did not break her way. 4 out of 12 is, it's a bad ratio for confessionals in 12 episodes. Would have loved to have heard more from her. But she seems like she has become legendary in her own right within the Survivor community. So I think that that is a victory in and of itself, even if not exactly the victory she was aiming for.
Oh, let me float one other thing past you that I was thinking about. This was a shower thought that I had. If Chelsea did not win immunity in the past two rounds, would she have been voted out in this round?
No, I think that that probably helped. I think that that probably activated her threat level, for some of these guys. But it seems in talking to her, you know, she talked about how she and Dominic came up with the plan to throw the challenge to get Bradley out of the game right before the merge.
I've heard
and
that.
She had to sit out of the mm-hmm. challenge because she couldn't, she herself would not physically throw a challenge. I don't think that if that's the case, then I don't think that this is the type of person who has it in her to throw a challenge in an individual portion of the game. And that is a failing in a player in that moment. Like, maybe it makes more sense, especially if like you are still not being considered any kind of an active threat whatsoever. Maybe play it a little bit chill, a testament to her character, but maybe a weakness in the game that like maybe turn that on a little bit later. But I think that's also pretty hard to criticize. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just the kind of thing where, and you see Big Brother players do it a lot. I'm sorry to, bring that into
all good. Jeff already said it.
I'm sorry to bring that into your wiggle room.
Big Brother.
Sorry about that. But
do you have Jeff saying wiggle room again as a poll quote?
Nowhere to hide in this challenge. You don't really get much wiggle room.
Yeah.
But if nobody's looking at you in the first place, then you're only, you know, painting a target on your back if that's the case, especially you're voting out Malolo all over the place. I know it's hard to do, but if, you know, in a perfect world, I really do believe that she's not the person that gets voted out this week if she hadn't won the previous two immunities.
I just think that's asking a lot of a person in terms of who they fundamentally are. You know, she's a very competitive person. I think when you get out there, that's got to be so hard. Like, and you also have to be like so bored. Mm-hmm. And like you just really got to want to give it your all in that situation. Like that's I think that you're talking, you know, it makes a lot of sense. I just think that sounds to me like a very difficult thing to you know, pull yourself back.
But if you're such a competitive person, don't you want to win the game too?
Sure. Totally. 100%. Yeah. I'd like to think that would be, you know, the right, you know, me being a challenge beast, if I were in her position, like I would hold it back every time.
Sure.
Throw every
that's when they bring you out there on location. That's hold back.
Yeah. I'm just trying to like get Gordon Holmes off balance. So, you know, like seven seasons from now, I really like give him an uppercut that he's not expecting. I hope he's not listening. I know he cuts out before the Wandoff.
Probably. Okay.
Yes.
So before we get into this week's Wandoff, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, of course, the great people at canvaspeople.com, where they've got the special promo code RHAP that allows you to get a 11x14 canvas photo of whatever you like. They have very few restrictions on what you can post, pretty much anything. That look, let's keep it clean, people. But other than that, post whatever, bring up whatever you want, any great pictures that you have, and get those up on Canvas People and then hang them up on your wall. 11x14 Canvas People, Canvas Photo, $0 pricing. It's a $69.99 value, Josh. Josh, what photos would you like to have of yourself from your Survivor days? Anything from on Ghost Island?
No, I would like it if nothing from my time on Ghost Island was documented other than the fever dream. That I'd like to have, just because I feel like that would make a great poster. I feel like if you were to round up all of the people that appeared in the Ghost Island fever dream, I think that would be great fan art.
Yeah, I know we've been talking about the Photoshopped Ghostbusters pick that Chris Borzilieri made for us.
I have a button from him that I'm holding right now.
Yes, is it the Mike Bloom Slimer?
That's a magnet, I believe, also a cap opener.
Because my son Dominic was in my office yesterday and he was looking at all my stuff and he's like, "Dad, I'm a little scared of that ghost." I said, "Are you scared of it because that it is a ghost with Mike Bloom's face? Would you be less scared of it if it was just Slimer's face?" And he said, "Yes, that it was extra creepy that it was a person on Slimer's body. Not that it was Mike Bloom's face in particular, but it was so I'm not going to make that one on Canvas, people."
Yeah. Your son has his father's instincts in terms of knowing that you never want to go full Bloom.
Yeah, don't go full Bloom. So get them, but go full Canvas people and try out Canvas people today. Upload that photo. Use the promo code RHAP, select the 11x14 Canvas people photo size, and you are in business. You just pay the shipping and handling. You're in and out for less than $20 on canvaspeople.com. Promo code RHAP. Get that 11x14 Canvas people photo for free. All right. Josh, so yeah, I was hanging out with my son yesterday and he said,
"We all know what's about to happen. Just play the song. Just do it. Just rip the lever. Let's just do it.
Why do you have to be like that? Why were you in a rush?"
You said it's a really long Wandoff, no?
It's a long Wandoff.
Let's just get to it. Let's do it.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda. In my arena, if you need to, you can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wandoff. It's the Wandoff forever. If you need to, you can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You ought to know right now before you go any further. It's the Wandoff. It'll be here forever.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
be here
here for a couple more weeks.
What's going on with you and Dominic? Tell me what you were going to say before we cut to the Wanda.
No, we were. He wanted Nicole was going to go to sleep for a happy Mother's Day to my lovely wife.
Yes, happy Misa Day. Yes,
to my lovely wife Nicole. Where I used to, I grew up my whole life believing that Mother's Day was, you know, a day where you honor your mom, and then I had kids, and then you realize that it takes one Mother's Day when you have a kid, and then you realize that, oh wait, it's not about your mom anymore.
Right.
That's,
yeah.
You learned that lesson. Nobody told me that. I'm doing a public service for all the young guys out there.
This feels familiar. I feel like I've had this conversation with you before on a podcast. Like, I feel like if you were to go back and listen to whether it was a Wiggle Room or a Game of Thrones or a something around Mother's
Day. Nobody told me. I didn't know. Like, when I was growing up.
Yeah, but you should have known by now.
Yeah, no, I know by now. Now I know.
You want to know right now.
Yeah. When I was growing up, that nobody ever told me that it was like, I always thought it was supposed to be about your mom.
Yeah. Well, for me, it still is.
Yeah.
So I got donuts for the great Emily Fox cat mom. That's what I ended up with. I got her donuts.
That's good.
All right. It was a good gift. She was very happy.
So we have a lot to get to here today in the Wand Off. And so Josh and I sort of had been, talking, brainstorming all season long. How is this all going to work logistically with the final Wand Off? Because we build and we build and we build. And last season, I think that everybody could say it was a little bit of a letdown in terms of what we put together with the final Wand Off, because it was very disjointed. Yes.
The final Wand Off itself was fantastic.
Sure. The entries were fine.
But it was very hard to figure out exactly like how we would reveal the winner results in a satisfying way, because like to build a show around the winner reveal was a logistical problem that I think you and I were not able to overcome.
You're right. And then we ended up just revealing the winner at the end of a Dr. Mike podcast. And a lot of people
and
were like,
DJ Wimbell Klein got a lifelong vasectomy.
Sure.
Offer.
Sure. That part was great. But so here's what we're doing. And I have to give credit to one of our listeners, Lindsay, who pitched me on this idea for the final Wand Off. But basically, the idea is to get everything within the Survivor season. So rather than having a final Wand Off after the season, when sort of the air is out of the balloon and it's the Survivor off season and people are, having to, like, it was hard for the Wand Off writers to write a song that encapsulated the season and not be talking about the same thing. So here's what we are thinking. So this week right now will be the final week, what you're about to hear, to win a spot into the final Wand Off. There is only one more Wiggler's Wombat hat up for grabs in season 36.
That is correct. And the winner of that hat will be from the top five pool in this very episode.
That's right. That's right. And then next week, one week from today, on this very podcast, we will hear the top whatever of all of the winners from the season, and that will be this season's final Wand Off, with episode 13 serving as the muse. So
yes.
Wand Off winners, and of course, to date, that's Leah and JD, that's DJ LaBelle Klein, that's Corey B, that's Phil T, not once but twice, that's Bob from Columbus, not once but twice, one time featuring the Mayo Jar, that's Jenny and Colin, that's Eric H, that's I almost said this week's winner. I almost said it. We haven't revealed that
God.
Yet.
Oh, we haven't revealed that yet. I'm very excited.
And that's going to be the final one. And we'll also accept honorable mentions as well for next week, but they will not be competing for the grand prize.
Let me throw this out there that honorable mentions, please continue to submit for that episode. And if we want to vote on an honorary winner from that honorable mentions, that person can get a Wiggler's Wombat's hat as well.
Okay, fine.
But it's a pity hat. It's a big deal. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. It's a pity hat for Rob Cesarnino's perspective. But for that one person, I imagine that they will want that Wombat.
So a couple of logistical notes then. So the voting for this week for the episode 12 Wand Off that you're about to hear will end Thursday night, we will notify the winner of this week's Wand Off that they have won sometime late Thursday, early Friday, so they can prepare for the final Wand Off. Be a little bit of a quick turnaround time for Monday morning, but they have the weekend, okay? If they want it, carpe diem.
Seize the day is what that means.
Right, right.
If you haven't seen the movie with Robin Williams.
Yes. And so that is all part of the lead up to the final Wand Off. And then the voting will take place on the day after the final Wand Off through Wednesday, the finale day, which is May 23rd. And then when Josh Wigler and I record after the finale, not only will we close out the season, we will also reveal the winner of the final Wand Off and tie up everything into one nice, neat little bow.
So that is a lot of information. We're going to have to issue a press release. I feel like we got to
This is it. This is the press release. Okay. So long story short, this is the final week. Somebody's going to win a spot into the final Wand Off. Next week's episode of The Wiggle Room is going to be the final Wand Off.
Yes, but I don't want the finalists to feel completely pigeonholed to the events of this week's coming episode. If you want to record and write a song that is going to be more all-encompassing of the season or some other meta-narrative surrounding Ghost Island, let your creativity run unfiltered.
You do you, boo-boo, okay?
Go full tilt. You do you, boo-boo, Burness. Winner of a question in This Week in Survivor History this past week. You know, get it done. But yes, next week will be the final Wand Off baked into the final Wiggle Room of season 36.
Yeah. I mean, the episode after the season, do we call that the Wiggle Room? What do we call that?
No, we
it's
never
a
have.
It's right, like, whatever. Whatever.
But like I'm there. So it's like technically a Wiggle Room.
Yeah, it's technically a Wiggle Room. I don't know whether to play Wiggle Room music at the beginning. It's
We don't know.
We're hungover. Who knows?
Yes. Okay. No one knows. Oh, God. It's a tough day.
Yeah.
Difficult day.
That being said, Josh, let's check in with our finalists from last week. And this was another week that it was a big runaway for this week's winner. With third place, it was Corey B and Shelly with Jenna Honey, I'm Good. In second place, with 18.98% of the vote, it was Justin from Washington Heights with Survivors Got Too Complicated. And we are welcoming a newcomer to this season's final Wand Off because we have somebody that took 46.96% of the vote. His name is Tyler Jacob Jones.
Wow.
And he had a song about the hero of Survivor Ghost Island, and that is Chelsea.
And then a hero comes along with a game that's kind of strong. But for reasons we don't know, they erase her from the show. She's one too.
Yes, wow. Beautiful.
Very prescient.
Yes.
That was a little bit of a glimpse into the future with the time travel machine.
Premonition.
Yes, indeed. Well, welcome to the final Wand Off, Tyler, and welcome to Wombat Nation. You get a hat, a highly coveted Wiggler's Wombat's hat.
Very coveted. Okay.
So coveted.
Let's bring in somebody else who's always highly coveted. He is the host of the Wand Off and very excited. Casey Kasem, are you ready for the final Wand Off countdown next week?
Rob, I've been ready all my afterlife.
Okay. Thank you, Casey.
Casey, it's almost done this season. Where will you go in the long wait between seasons 36 and 37? We've never been on such a great hiatus with you since you've been back in our lives.
Josh, I've got a timeshare in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, okay. That's good. No one will visit you.
That's just what I'm wanting. Josh Wigler, we've got a jam-packed bunch of honorable mentions this week in the countdown. In fact, we'll start things off with one of our listeners, Matt Noble, and he's talking about the current state of Kellen's Game.
And it's too late, Kelly, now it's too late. Your gut must have had bad digestion. She said Navid is strong 1,000 times, but is left here to clean all of the dishes. Wanda!
That was a beautiful song from John Carroll King.
I love it.
On that note, Michael and Kimberly have some more to say about the plans coming from Kellen's side.
The girls are gonna take it. No, they ain't gonna take it. They're not gonna take it anymore. Wanda. Wanda. They're right, they're free. God's side, you'll say.
That was from Take Your Pick of, we've got Twisted, Sister Nino.
Sister Nino.
Double D Snyder. Or Twisted Sister Sister, as said by Justice Welchel.
Here's your brother, Justice.
Sister. Sister.
Oh my God, your second best Survivor Philippines joke of the week. Can we
Sister.
Take a minute to
Sister.
Talk about, A, yes, this is a great deep cut joke about the Survivor Philippines mm-hmm. loved ones visit.
Yeah.
What was going through your head with that Mike Scoopin joke? That was, that was unbelievable on the Twitters.
I mean, that it was well documented that he had a Ponzi scheme going, right?
It's a low low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
So to
Josh,
speak.
Our third entry into the honorable mentions comes to us from Trisha from Boston. And she has a song that is a great show tune that we are incorporating into the show because we are classy here in the Wandoff.
I am not gonna take my shot. I am not gonna take my shot. Hey, I'm scared, tired, and hungry. Feel safe with Wendy and Dami, so I'm not gonna take my shot. Hey, I went to Yale, Harvey Lee College. Listen to Rob C, got game knowledge. Problem is, I got this cursed buff, call it orange. I'm low, 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 goddamn, but I'm no mutton dressed as lamb. I'm a diamond in the rough, a shiny piece of glass. In volleyball, I know that I could kick Chris Noble's ass, but all I can do is smile and nod my head. Now I'm the one that's drawn dead. Kellen pouts about doing dishes, but I know it's still a strong Navidi that she wishes. She's feeling mad now, but at the last try we'll see. Her stupid gut went and put 2 votes on me. So I am not going to take my shot. I am not going to take my shot. But if you want me to rank them, hey, if you're asking me, it's Wendell, Wendell, Wendell in 1, 2, and 3. Wanda, Wanda, Wanda.
A powerful song composed by James Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, we've got a new challenger has stepped into the ring. I like it. That was very lyrically impressive. That was really great. I enjoyed that tremendously.
Next up is another duo. It's Will and Elise, and they've got a song about this week's family visit.
Wiggles at, wiggles at, wombat, wombat, wiggles at, wiggles at, wombat, wombat. If you wanna go on a reward with me, have a nice lunch and see your family, then you got to be Navidi.
Hey, Stony Baloney!
If you wanna go and get high with me, eat ice cream on a beach in Fiji, then you got to vote Chelsea.
Hey, Stony Baloney!
That was a classic rap from Nelly Adenis.
She made it. She came back. Finally. It worked.
Josh Wiggler, this next entry into the honorable mentions really has nothing to do with anything we saw in this episode, but it is still pretty incredible from Matt Noble.
Oh, wow. Yes. Love this song.
Found a coconut, had an idol inside. Turns out it was a fake idol made by David Wright. He put the fake in the coconut. He's found a lot of stuff. He put the fake in the coconut and hid it in the rough. Who'll find the fake in the coconut and fall for the bluff? Who'll play the fake from the coconut? Call Dr. Mike and wake him up. Say, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? They'll say, Doctor, for playing an idol that's fake. They'll say, Doctor, can I reverse the curse's fate? They'll say, Doctor, the idol in the coconut was fake.
Now let me get this straight. You have not called me from your butt, and this is a call about your nuts.
No, found the fake in the coconut and played it and stuff. I played the fake in the coconut and now my torch is snuffed. I found the fake in the coconut. Called Dr. Mike, I woke him up, said, Wanda, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Wanda, to reverse this curse's fate. I said, Wanda, the idol that I found was fake. I said, Wanda, I am now suffering Jay's fate.
Oh, God. Wait. All right, carry it through the finish line. Who was that? Who did it?
No idea.
Get that man a Wombat's hat. Get his contact information. Send it in. Honorary Wombat's Nation. I'm pulling that trigger. I have not done that all season. That just killed me. The lime and the coconut. How has that not been done before? Spectacular. Kissing my fingers like a chef, like Chef Jonas. Mwah. Unbelievable.
Josh
Wombat's Nation, you're in.
Josh Wiggler. Now we're going to switch gears and get into all of our songs about Chelsea.
Oh, no. Wait, can you just like play like 10 minutes of dead air? And does that
come on?
Sorry.
I know, this guy got an interview.
Hey, I
Casey, yeah, come sorry. On, don't say that. Don't say that, Casey. That was uncalled for, Casey. Sorry about that, Josh Wiggler.
Apologies.
Okay. Next up is Ike from Wisconsin, who has some wishes for Chelsea.
Please speak. We don't know what you're saying. So please start explaining in your exit interview. Oh, just speak. We want to know what you're thinking. And I need some good reasons. Here's your chance on RHAP.
Was that a Ben bomb at the end? Oh my God, very evocative. It's dark.
That was a classic hit from Gwen Stefani LaGrosa.
Yes, indeed. Filet mignon pizza for everybody.
And her band, No Nose Doubt. Next up is Michael Clark with a song about Chelsea.
Goodbye, Chelsea, though we didn't know you at all. You had the strength to hold shit up while those around you'd fall. They called you challenge threat. They didn't show their work. You won immunity to more than one shirt. And it seems to me you live your life like a lovely human being.
Oh.
Inoffensive, that's pretty sweet. Pretty charming, and not all that mean. Hell, I would have liked to know you, but it was just a team. The edit focused just as much on your sister Sid and me.
Wow. Wonderful.
And then we've got one more honorable mention this week, maybe inspired from our recent outing to Boston. Here's Scott from Detroit.
Making your way to the air today takes more than being hot. You would have thought that winning immunities would have helped a lot. So much for your shot at fame. We knew that you were doomed because no viewers know your name.
Oh, brutal.
We're still not sure that you played. You say you made moves, and if that's true, the editors are to blame. We knew you were doomed because no viewers know your name.
Was I supposed to come up with a musician for that? Because I didn't have one.
Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Give me a second. From
Taj George Went.
No. I was going to go with Ted Rogers Jr. Danson.
Big Ted Danson.
You guys all still with us? You're still here? Oh, my God.
All right.
How is anyone still listening to this?
Josh, I've got something special for you.
Oh, no. Another threesome proposition.
This one is a bit of a palate cleanser before we get to our top entries from the week. The Wand Up in Survivor can be so divisive, but I have for you, in a time when the world is looking for something to pin its hopes and dreams on, I bring you the collaboration we've all been waiting for. Like, what am I supposed to do? No more. Don't do this anymore.
La Belle Klein, DJ La Belle Klein, do you think it's time for a rad bromance?
Yah, 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 filthy. That strat is OP. Let's tell our HAP of our rad bromance.
Now, Dom and Wendell, they got off scot-free. Dynamic duo like Steve and JT, a couple bros. Bros, 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 they're loved by Probst.
Jeffrey.
We've had our battles, let's turn a new leaf. Like Lendl, drop the curtains on our big beef. We should be bros. Bros, 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 all Seabass chose.
Pisses me off.
They each have an idol, and we each have a title. Three wombat hats and a red bromance, bro.
Like Rich and Rudy, like Brad and Troy, Zandom and Wendell have a rad romance.
We could be like them, so let's give it a chance. You and me could ride a rad romance.
Dom Father Corleone is in a rad romance.
With Childish Gambino, like Bryce and his purple pants.
Wah, 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 on Dom. DJ signing off. Shout out Rob and Josh. Love your rad bromance.
Wow.
Lady Wawa.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So Phil T, just to I want to make sure that I'm tracking the story correctly. So Phil T and DJ LaBelle Klein have decided that the beef, it's been cooked.
Is curtains.
It's well done, just the way Joe Mena likes it. The beef is curtains was a better joke that I missed as you said it and tried to forget that it happened.
Well, they said it.
They said it. They said it. They said it. It's gone. It's over. It's done. But don't you think that this was a mistake?
In what way?
In the final Wand Up, like now, like they are they like unifying the
they have an alliance? You think people are going to target them?
But I think that it's now going to be like, okay, well, if those guys are together, like, should we, you know, should we look elsewhere?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'd be worried. I'd be concerned. They're like, they're the Dom and Wendell of the final Wandoff. So like everybody now has to be like, oh crap. Well, we gotta figure out how to dismantle.
I mean, but to be fair,
power line.
I mean, if I had a choice between Dom and Wendell or the field or DJ LaBelle Klein, Phil T, or the field in the final Wandoff, I feel like the field in the final Wandoff, I feel like has a better shot.
It's a big field.
It's a big field. It's a big field.
Yeah. But I'm very excited to hear that the all-stars known as
I have
Bill
more
T
faith in Jenny
Lopin
and Colin making a move.
Are we allowing vulgar entries into the final Wandoff? Because I know that was a bone of contention. If we give proper warning, I want Jenny and Colin to feel like they can be themselves fully heading into the final Wandoff.
Look, anybody can be whatever they want, but Josh Wiggler, we still have a lot to get to. We still have to get to our top songs of the week.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Rob said that there was a lot in this Wandoff today.
It's a lot.
First up is a newcomer to the Wandoff. It's Stacy from Maryland, and she's got a song all about the Rob G. Otis, which is Chelsea.
Look at me, purple Chelsea, did not win immunity, so they voted me out because Dominic spouts that I'm a challenge beast. Watch me. I was on the show. Confessional count was low. Said I made a big move, something that I can't prove. I just went with the flow. I just sit and stare when I'm on the air. I don't have a memorable quote. Why'd they vote for me? Anyone could see that I'd make a great final three goat. And I'm poor at metaphor. Giant game of bumper cars. I said good battle, sir, to Wendell right before Jeff Probst snuffed out my torch. Wanda, Wanda, can it be? Ghost Island has a curse on me. Day 32, I was given the boot. Hey, it's true. Purple Chelsea.
That was Yay. A great number from Olivia, Jamie, Newton, John, even though it was Rizzo. But that nothing worked for Rizzo.
Nothing?
Josh, you got something?
No, I don't. Nothing offhand.
That was from Eddie George Went. Number two this week, Alex G is back in the top five with number two about his favorite visitor from this week's family visit. Mm,
I know who.
You!
Aunt Patty Teller.
I'm your aunt, and you've got family. Do you want to know us?
You!
Aunt Patty's who you now know.
Got brothers and sisters, oh.
With the help of Aunt Patty, that Donathan's a family boy. Now you crank that Aunt Patty. 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 Country girl and Patty, oh.
Dominic just made a vibe.
Wendell's doing work on Ghost, but Donathan don't know who to trust. Now you crank that amp. You crank that amp. You crank that amp. You crank that amp. And Patty up in his O, wearing lots of layers. Oh, wait until he's 18, spilling truth bombs on Donathan. Ready to hunt Dominic down. If his wife don't kill him now, he'll be more choked up than Probst when talking about Angela's. You crank that amp. You crank that amp. You crank that amp. You crank that amp.
Wow.
That was Sonya Boy.
Ah.
featuring Bryce Isaiah.
That's so funny because Bryce was just on the podcast, so the turnaround on that is spectacularly tight.
Yeah.
Wow.
A great push to get Rob to post the voicemails on Friday like he did with the Bryce podcast. If you guys are going to remix the voicemail show, let me see what I can do next season.
You know, it's not, it's, you know, it's great. As long as you're not doing the remixing, I have no problems with it.
Number three this week is Graham from the Bay. He's back in the top five, and he wants to sing about Chelsea.
Chelsea, your game is now a wrap. Chelsea, where the hell were you at? Chelsea, where? Chelsea,
yeah, yeah.
Hey, this show needs to cast more interesting people. She could have been easily replaced by a seagull. Could have swore I never even saw her on the telly. This girl got less confessionals than Purple Kelly. She's a superhero. She's invisible woman. Nowhere to be seen on the screen where I was looking. Understatement to say her edit was uneven. I spoke more in this verse than she did all season. Donathan and Laurel really, really screwed this up. The second chance to get rid of Wendell is gone. They just gave all the power back to him and Dom. They both have to know that their games are done. Wendell still has his idol. Now the challenge piece has exited the tribal. Cause Lisa Kiefer in the finals won't get my vote. There's not a thing about her I know. Chelsea, be purple.
Chelsea.
Sit down.
Chelsea.
Be purple.
Chelsea.
Sit down.
Chelsea.
Be purple.
Chelsea,
sit down.
Purple. Chelsea.
Be purple.
Chelsea.
Sit down. Be purple. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
One down.
That was a new hit jam from Kendrick Lamari Takahashi.
Wow, Rob. Robert. With the reach.
That was a reach?
I liked it. No, it was good. It was good. It was a good reach. You didn't like strain yourself with the reach. I was like creative. And like a because
if you want
shelf.
Reaches, stay tuned.
It was good. No, I commend your flexibility. That was great. I would not have been able to get there, and you got there, and that's fantastic. That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Okay. Josh, number four this week, our fourth entry comes to us from Tyler Jacob Jones, fresh off a win.
Wow.
On episode number 11. He's
TJJ.
Back, and he wants to talk about a deal that went down this week on Survivor.
Dominic made an offer to Donathan. He said, come with me and Wendell. I'm the friend who will bring you to final tribal. Dom made a promise that I'm hoping that he meant. If he breaks it, there'll be hell to pay and how. And he better open wide for some Kentucky Fried revenge. There'll be nowhere to run. There'll be nowhere to hide. If she finds out you lied, then Aunt Patty will come for you. Patty will come, and Patty's hunting you down. With a sensible shoe, she'll kick you right to the ground. She'll come if you're not honest, an assassin in a modest shawl.
That was a power ballad from Celine D'Andrea, a.k.a. Dreamser.
Blair. Wow. Spectacular. The mythology around Aunt Patty is incredible. I'm looking forward to the Aunt Patty trilogy, the graphic novels, the TV show that's going to Amazon Prime.
Coming up, our fifth entry in this week's Wandoff. The Nick That Sucks is back, and he's got a song about this week's strategy.
Laurel? Do you want to vote for Wendell? Come on, let's start to play. You're not in danger anymore. That final four would throw your game away. You used to be good TV, but now you're not. I wish you would tell me why. Do you want to vote for Wendell?
Go away, superfans.
Okay, bye.
It's a big decision, so it's scary.
Laurel, please, I know you're listening. People are asking what you've done. They say your competition's outplayed you. Your move is due, or Dom's already won. Hang in there, Kellen. You used to play to win, but now you won't. You're watching your chance tick by. Do you want to vote for Wendell? Dominic, not Wendell.
Damn it, Laurel! Come on! Don't you want to win this game?
That was said sarcastically, by the way.
Wow.
That was out of context, that quote.
Hot mic, hot mic. I'm not talking Jurger.
Yeah! That was a great song by Kristen Alex Bell.
Yes. Oh, Alex Bell, what's up? Wow.
And Josh Wiggler, I've got one more surprise for you. A sixth entry in this week's Wandoff. That's right.
Oh my goodness.
That's right.
Oh my goodness. This is so now it's expanding to a top six.
It's the final week.
Wow. Okay. Let's do it.
It's JD and Leah. And
nice.
They want to get in there and they want a tribute to Chelsea.
Well, her name is Chelsea from the tribe of WT. Strategizing in confessionals, but only 4 weeks got to CBS. She made it to the merge because her social game was strong. Then back to back, she won immunity by keeping her eye on the balls. Tell it, Chelsea. Okay, that must be a fluke. All my TV stuck on mute. But now my volume is turned right up, so you can give us a channel scoop. Dish it, Chelsea.
Yeah. Two tribal.
Well, then, there's a lot to cover post-merge, so let's break it down, Chelsea. Say whatever comes to mind, and how did it feel to win those comps, girl?
A necklace.
Oh, when you didn't get to eat ice cream.
Blindside.
Well, at least there's still the exit interview, though. Why can't we hear from you, Chelsea?
Leona.
Raw deal, CBS. Chelsea.
Oh, my God.
Chelsea.
I went out with a bang.
Wow.
That was from The Lonely Ghost Island.
JD and Leah have hacked my life is my theory on how that, because I can't imagine that like 30% of the listeners know what that song was.
Mm-hmm.
But that was Sax Man by The Lonely Island featuring Jack Black, which everybody needs to seek out because it's an incredible song in which Jack Black thinks that he is like presenting this incredible sax man to the stage, to the world, like with his big like showmanship. And then the sax man gets on stage and okay, he's a little shy because he can't sing. He can't play. The sax man can't play. And it's a very disappointing performance. And it's a very fun musical number. And I strongly recommend it. And it has been one of my favorite tunes of the last several years. And I don't think that I've ever expressed that in any sort of public forum. So I don't know what's happening. I've been hacked. I've been doxxed.
If I may just break character for a moment, Josh, that it is unbelievable how many songs we got about Chelsea this week, and maybe outside of Chris Noble, and maybe more so than Chris Noble, that
she got more songs about her in the Wand Off to the point where 75-80% of the stuff we got this week was only about Chelsea. So
it's astounding. Astounding.
The joke could be ha ha ha, she didn't get a lot of airtime, but boy, she's making up for it on this Wand Off.
She is the Purple Queen. She's the Purple Queen Chelsea. You know, we talked about her as the Red Woman Melisandre. She's the Purple Woman Chelsea Townsend.
Yeah.
She is the queen of the purple edit. I defy you to find somebody with the purple edit who is more universally beloved than Chelsea. Chelsea is legendary. Mm-hmm. She is legendary. Like, walking away from Survivor Ghost Island, there is almost nobody that I would rank lower for a return appearance than Chelsea, but also almost nobody that I would rank higher in terms of like somebody who's going to be like beloved by like that, you know, the Survivor Sucks contingent, like that group of people. Like, people have really latched in to like people that feel have felt like infuriated on her behalf in a very personal way. It's astounding. It's mesmerizing. Mm-hmm. It's honestly mesmerizing. Like, I think that she's an incredibly nice person. I think that she was like an incredibly competent player, but the level of love that has surrounded her has been remarkable to behold. It's like, it knocks you off your feet.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's been wild. It's crazy.
It's been nuts.
It's crazy. It's insane.
To vote for your pick of the final regular Wand Off of the season, go to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda. Big thanks, as always, to Kurt Clark for going through all of the votes and helping us determine the winner of each week. And then also big thanks to Randy Neupel and Jason Curtis Rivera. Casey Kasem, couldn't do all this without you every single week.
Oh my God, Casey. You really brought us some delicious Wandoffs here as we are in our penultimate Wandoff week.
Final Wandoff coming up next week.
Oh my goodness. It was great. Yep. Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much.
You're on Godot style.
Godot Island. Yeah. Inspired. And here I was saying, you don't know theater, Rob.
Yeah. So I try.
You try.
We got a huge week coming up on the podcast, of course. I'll be back together with Stephen Fishback, just talking about what's going on. We don't need to put people in order or anything like that coming up this Wednesday night. And then I'm very excited.
Just go easy on him, okay? Please, come on.
Look, I have apologized about this. That was not a fair question to ask on a Survivor podcast. Okay. And I've walked it back. I'm not going to pursue that line of questioning anymore about who's going to win Survivor. Stop it. That's too much. I won't do it anymore. Okay. I'm not going there. I'm sorry, Josh, but we have a real treat for you as well this week. Kim Spradlin will be on the podcast this week. Okay.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Yes. Fantastic. That's great. How long has it been since she's been on the podcast?
Well, her and I don't think that we did it. Maybe we did an interview during Game Changers, and then she was with us in Austin. But that wasn't I don't know if we count the, you know, coming to the live shows. I know the people that kill me that I don't have good guests on never count those shows. So,
a fantastic person to talk to, as we're very realistically looking at a situation where like it is one to two people who are just like taking the game down. And if that status quo is upended, that's going to be really interesting to talk to her about. But if that status quo is stabilized, I think that Kim is, in my opinion, the best winner of Survivor in terms of the game she played with perhaps the worst season of all time. So I think that it's a very interesting combination as we're heading into the final stretch.
So we'll talk about all that. Of course, Mike Bloom, as I mentioned, will be on the feedback show, and then the final Wand Off coming up this week. So another jam-packed week here on the podcast. So really looking forward to all that here in the home stretch of Survivor Ghost Island.
Unbelievable. Thank you for the laughs today. This was a hilarious Wand Off. I am my bodice hurts.
Yeah,
I'm in pain.
Yeah. I'm glad you phrased it like that, Josh. I just want to make a quick mention that a lot of people in the Rob as a podcast community know about this, but we are mourning one of our own over the last couple of days that, you know, I really feel a connection with a lot of the people that we hear from regularly on the show, and I know that Josh does too, and we lost one of the most prolific people in terms of contributing comments and questions for our shows in the last couple of days. And his name is Dominic Malpietti, and he is somebody who is from Long Island, like Josh and myself. And
yep.
He was a younger guy, and he's passed away very sadly. And we really don't know a lot about the circumstances of exactly what happened, but Josh has been posting on Twitter some great questions that we've gotten from him over the years. And it's just been something that just came out of nowhere for us, that we had no idea that he was experiencing any issues. But he was a guy who would send in questions almost immediately, like after a show, any feedback shows that we did. He was such a consistent contributor. And it's just
for like an insane amount of shows, yeah, too, like, you know, from like, you know, both Walking Dead's to Game of Thrones to The Leftovers, Mr. Robot,
Survivor, Big Brother,
everything,
Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld,
everything, literally everything we did.
And, you know, I'm looking through my own stuff from him as well. It's just, you know, it's somebody that we didn't know on a personal level, but it was, you know, just a gut punch to find out somebody who was along for the ride with us on this stuff, to lose somebody. You know, it's been a emotional thing for all of us, and just wanted to, you know, shout out Dominic Malpietti, you know, on the show. And we really appreciate everything. And so sorry to hear that you're not with us anymore.
Totally. No, I mean, it's been really tough. And, you know, he has been somebody who, again, like when I found out and I started like looking back through the archives, like literally from since 2014 for me, which is around when we started post show recaps, like that is the first email that I have from him in my records. And like, it's, you know, it's a weird and crazy and like very lucky thing that you and I get to do, Rob, where like, you know, I remember recording The Evolution of Strategy with you, and we recorded 13 solid seasons, you know, however many, like hundreds of hours almost at that point, without anyone having heard a lick of the thing. And I'll never forget like the feeling of recording that 14th chapter when people had finally started listening to it. It's like, oh my God. So like Rob and I are not just like talking to each other on Skype, and it's not just like this isolated thing. Other people are hearing. And like, I've been so fortunate to get to know so many of you people who listen to us, who are, you know, laugh crying on your way to work or taking a lunch break or exercising or whatever, as you are listening to any of the shenanigans that I put out there or Rob and his many podcasts put out there. And I'm grateful for the people that I have met of you who are hearing this. But, you know, to the people who I have not met who are listening to this, and we are like a regular part of your lives, like, I love you so much. You have given so much to me in that you are supporting this endeavor that we do. And I think of you as well, even if I don't know who you specifically are. It means the world that you are part of this, and you are all part of this. And, every single moment that we get to do this all together, whether it's, you know, Rob and I talking, or Steven or Mike or Nicole, or any of the other people who get to be on the podcast, Jessica Lees, like anybody who gets to be on here and gets to talk, or it's you sending in feedback and interacting, being in, you know, the Facebook group, or just being on Twitter as Dom was, and sending in feedback questions, like everything that you contribute to this it matters, and we're all coming together over the same shared space. And I'm thinking about Dom. I'm thinking about everything that he contributed, and like I can really list out, you know, what he contributed to the stuff that, you know, Antonio and I did on post show recaps, for example. And it's just it's really tough.
Yeah,
but it's important, I think, to let you all all know just how much it means, just the community aspect of what we do here. And just I don't get a chance to say it enough, but like every moment is precious and we don't know how long mm-hmm. we will be here. And I love you all. And I just want that to be out there and known.
Yeah. And Josh, I don't know about you, but I've been, you know, really upset about that. We found out last week that he was, you know, whatever the issue that he had was that he was posting on Twitter that he had to go to the ICU. And
yeah, the details are murky. Yeah.
I just felt like, but he's on Twitter. Like he's going to be fine. And I don't know if he had any idea of how, you know, severe things were. And, you know, I suspect that maybe he did. But I just feel like the regret over, you know, not ever getting to say how much we appreciate him, you know, going on all of these stupid adventures with us through, you know, all these different shows and, you know, all of these different podcasts. And, you know, it's just been, you know, a real gut punch.
Yeah, yes, I feel that exactly. And like I saw it was May 7th that he tweeted that he was in the ICU, and you know, a bunch of people responded to him and, you know, wished him well. And that's one of the things too, is like the amount of people who were obviously really clearly touched by this guy, who got to interact with Dom online, has been, it's been really staggering to see.
But that's like, the crazy thing, because I just felt like, okay, well, I figured obviously, you know, I knew who this was and you knew who this was, but I really have been blown away. Like, how did so many other people on Twitter know him? And he had all of these relationships with all of the other listeners of the podcast, which has been the, you know, the craziest thing to come to learn.
It's because you've built an island, man. And it's a crazy thing you've done. And we are all monsters on this massive island. And so many of us know each other and many of us don't. And some of us like hide in the jungle like the others. And others are, you know, the Oceanic 815ers. Others are, you know, members of a certain tribe or another tribe. Mm-hmm. But we're all on this island that has been created both by Survivor and by RHAP. And the amount of love that people in this community have just expressed for each other in this moment, but you know, just at large, has been incredible. You know, one of the things I'm looking at Dom's profile on Twitter now. He's Entasis X on Twitter, and his profile is something that reaches out to me, except for the fact that he hashtags Big Brother, which obviously, of course, was not something for me. But he said, "Still not over the ending of Lost, and if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything." And I think that he was a guy, just in my experience with him, in the comments that I would receive from him over the years, like in emailed feedback or tweets or whatever, he had a lot of thoughts, was a deep thinker, and really engaged these shows in a really meaningful and granular way. And you know, somebody who I love on Twitter, R. Philly, I don't have his exact quote, talked about how this is such a gut punch, because he was our people. You know, he's somebody who really looked at these shows and talked about these shows with the same level of humor and appreciation for story craft that I think that we try at least at our best. Often we don't succeed, but when we try at our best to bring to covering these shows. So to lose somebody like that who was so prolific and so engaged in the community, it's really difficult. Yeah. It's definitely very tough.
And I'm looking at his tweets also. May 2nd, he sent to us, "So a double boot episode means a supersized wand off this week." So happy we were able to deliver this one for you, Dom.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I know that, you know, wherever he is, I hope that that's appreciated.
Okay. All right. Well, just wanted to pass along the word to anybody who may not have heard and may have also known him on Twitter. And we're still trying to reach out to anybody from his family or anybody that knew him outside of social media, where if there's anything that we can do in terms of anything that's going on now, we'd love to get some more information about that. But again, thank you all for listening to this. And Josh, I really thought that you had some very appropriate and touching tributes on Twitter today as well about all this.
Yeah, I was just up for like hours, just like thinking about the guy and looking at the email archives, and it just like it kind of threaded together of like, this is, you know, I did not know the guy at all, but he was clearly a really deep person. And, you know, anything I could have done to share some of his messages for people who really needed to see them, I was happy to do.
Okay. All right. That's going to do it for us here today in the Wiggle Room. We'll be back next week. Final wand off. Thanks for all the laughs, everybody who sent in those songs today. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Started.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket to my destination. On a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Every day is an endless stream of cigarettes and magazines. Each town looks the same to me, the movies and the factories, and every stranger's face I see reminds me that I long to be homeward bound. I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Tonight I'll sing my songs again. I'll play the game and pretend. All my words come back to me in shades of mediocrity, like emptiness in harmony. I need someone to comfort me. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Silently for me.